Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? It's fascinating. I guess kind of when we actually look at the sort of the scope of recorded history, let's say, I'm quite familiar with mainly the ancient Near East, looking at sort of the Old Testament or maybe ancient Egypt or Mesopotamia, this sort of area, just due to my upbringing and my heritage, I guess. But when we actually look at the sort of scope of recorded history, it's really about sort of five, it seems to be roughly about sort of 5,000 years. And obviously some of these earliest recorded stories are passed on from stories people were transferring from generation to generation orally. They're going back thousands of years potentially, and it's quite exciting really that we then get them sort of carved into something, and then we can actually enjoy them today. So I guess history is massive, right? How can we even begin to approach it, to be able to begin to draw lessons that are worthwhile from it? It just I guess the task can seem quite substantial.
Yeah, it is. And I think the difficulty is, I think the challenge that people face really, if history is really the study of human beings and their kind of interaction, it's the way we understand those people in the past. And the dilemma that you always face looking at people in the past, or the challenge, is that they are simultaneously like very like us. They are simultaneously exactly the same as us, in fact, and utterly different. And that sounds like a complete contradiction. Of course, it is a contradiction, and you have to confront it. So, in other words, they are motivated by the same desire for security, contentment, love, affection, validation, food, all those things. But what's going on in their heads is often almost impossible for us to fathom. And so, you mentioned the ancient world. If you're reading about people in, let's say, the 1st century BC or AD or something, we think we have a sense of what made them tick because they wrote things down, the Romans or, Greeks or whatever. But we're never truly entering into their heads. We're such a vast remove from them. So it's very much a case, I think, especially the further back you go, you're kind of looking through a glass darkly kind of thing, and trying to make out patterns. Often, frankly, that would have seemed meaning would seem meaningless to people at the time themselves. I often think it's a strange quirk of history that if you take the period you're interested in, let's say you're pre the BC history, let's say the ancient world, almost everything written about that period now would just be incomprehensible and completely deranged to people from the time. They wouldn't recognize themselves, I imagine, in what we write about them. They would say, "You haven't understood us at all. That's not what makes us tick." So, in a way, as a historian, you're always fighting a losing battle, I think. You can never truly recreate the past or truly under. I mean, which of us can ever understand what happened goes on in somebody else's head? I mean, every historian makes judgments about characters in the past. I mean, if you take characters from the ancient world, let's say one, probably the two or three single best known characters. I don't know, Cleopatra, Julius Caesar, let's say, Alexander the Great, whoever. We as historians make great sweeping claims about them. This is what made this person tick. This is what they were trying to do. But in truth, you can't even say that about your own partner. You don't know what's so there's always a sort of it's like a sort of desperate rear guard action against futility, the task of being a historian. That's not to say you shouldn't try to do it, but the great challenge of understanding the past, you know that you will always fail to some degree, but I think it's how interestingly you can fail that determines how good you are at being a historian.
Yeah, and it's quite challenging as well at times to then draw that lesson, present it, and also allow what that individual has put it onto you to actually be reframed. And you say, I think that this individual has bestowed this on me because of the lessons I've learned from their life. But actually holding that lightly, I think people quite often grasp these things firmly, and they're like, no, this is what this person actually thought. This is what's going
Yeah,
on. And you kind of
I would, yeah, sorry,
no,
go on.
go for it, go
Sorry.
for it.
No, I was just about to say that holding it lightly is absolutely the right way of thinking about it. So, I mean, it's a tiny, tiny thing actually, but I remember when Simon Sharma did his TV History of Britain, in the 1990s for the BBC. It was a landmark history series. The first time, really, I think some one person had said, I'm going to do the whole history of Britain in sort of 20 episodes or whatever, or 20 hours. And he made a real point in interviews to publicise the series to say, it is not the history of Britain, it is a history of Britain, because it would be different if anybody else had written and presented it. And I thought there was, he was absolutely right, that you're what you see. So in other words, the way I think of it, Samuel, is that when you and I are looking at a landscape on a hill, we look out and what you and I see will always be different, and we will always describe it differently. And I mean, we can safely say when one of us is wrong. So if you said to me, there's a bridge, and I'd say, there's no bridge. You know, I know there's no bridge. That's fine. But we can't, as long as we don't make those kinds of mistakes, then we can't truly say that one of us is necessarily right or better than the other. So the way you perceive history, like you perceive life, is always going to be completely coloured by who you are, where you've come from, where you're standing, and the reason that you're doing it. And actually being a bit honest and humble about that, I think, is really important as a historian, to know that when you're making your claim will always be contested. There will always be people who challenge it. It will never last. There's no definitive account of anything. Otherwise, history writing would stop. And as I said, that trying to understand other people in the past, because that's ultimately what you're doing as a historian, you can never claim to truly succeed. You're only guessing a lot of the time. And I think being honest about that is really important.